What we're debating here is that this is a government program. Casinos represent a government program that essentially creates unfairness and inequality in our society. And so I worked in the Massachusetts Senate as a chief of staff. You know, I had gambled, you know, a few times in my life. I played sports my whole life. I never questioned about the question of the issue of government-sponsored gambling before. But I worked for a senator there who was strongly opposed to the issue. And it was one of these issues where the more you learn about it and you realize like how corrupting it is and the powerful influence it has in the inequality and unfairness in our society today, that to me, anyone who's interested in reforming America for the better, it runs through this issue because this represents the public voice of government today.
In New York State, there's a state lottery. There are state racetracks run by the New York Racing Association. And there's off-track betting, which has some state and local connections. How are casinos different than these other state-operated, state-financed gambling operations?
Well, what they are is what you already have here in New York State has been a huge failure, right? Your New York lottery was supposed to fund education, and all the evidence continues to show that it's failed as a revenue source. And what it's done is it's impoverished, you know, your low-income and middle-income families here. Instead of encouraging savings, we push people into deeper debt. So what the current forms of state-sponsored gambling here have already failed, and what casinos represent are really the exclamation point on this failed policy. These very powerful gambling interests, they lobbied for this. They demanded, you know, push through casinos through your state legislature. They put a rigged ballot question for a state constitution question on your ballot last November. You know, so what the citizens of New York weren't demanding casinos in their local communities. This was pushed by, you know, the most powerful special interests in the country in partnership with a state government that has lost its mission. You know, instead of expanding the middle class and giving people opportunity, we are preying and exploiting our own citizens.
Governor Cuomo said last year in promoting this constitutional amendment, we already have gambling.
And what he fails to, when all those folks who say that, what they fail to acknowledge is really two things. One is they don't acknowledge that this is a failed public policy where the independent evidence shows that it creates unfairness and inequality. And secondly, what Governor Cuomo and others do, all the folks that promote casinos, this is the only product or service in America where the people who own them and own it and promote it don't use it. So Governor Cuomo, as much as he promotes, you know, state-sponsored gambling, has acknowledged publicly that he doesn't gamble himself. Senator John Bonachek, who's the chief Senate sponsor of your casino bill here in the legislature, he doesn't gamble. I did a debate with him last year in New York City on a big network television program. Acknowledge it. He doesn't gamble himself. All the major casino operators, MGM's Jim Murren is the CEO, the Caesars CEO, Gary Loveman, none of those guys gamble. Okay, so what it shows is what a ripoff this is. This is about cheating and exploiting citizens, and the end result for all your listeners who don't gamble is it's added in a major way to the unfairness and inequality in our society.
Casino supporters will point usually to two major benefits. Number one, jobs. Number two, revenue to the local government where the casino is hosted and some neighboring governments and to the state. Let's start with jobs.
Sure.
Two
facts about the jobs piece. One is that the evidence shows that these are jobs that produce inequality. Right, so certainly some people are employed by casinos, but this is a public policy through which the evidence is represents the massive wealth transfer from the have-nots to the haves. Most people work in occupations where they don't their income doesn't rely on, you know, creating addiction in their community and pushing local people into debt. But probably the most compelling fact and evidence that shows how much this is not a jobs policy and how much is a failed idea is if you were to pick up the phone right now and call the state of Illinois Gambling Commission, and most people who are gambling addicts never come forward for help. So roughly 95% of people in society who are gambling addicts never come forward for help. And of those, okay, roughly 5% do. In Illinois, there's more people on the state's self-exclusion list, which means people have come forward to say, you know, ban me from the casinos, okay? And that represents just a tip of the iceberg. But there's 25% more people on the state self-exclusion list than there's people that work at the state's casinos. Think about that. You've created far more addicts than you created jobs. So if that's not the epitome of a failed public policy, I don't know what is. And the big picture here is, why are those citizens expendable, right? We're supposed to live in a society where everyone's equal and have equal opportunity. This is a public policy that purposefully, and everyone acknowledges, renders millions of Americans as expendable, and it's going to render millions of New Yorkers up here in the Albany area as expendable as well.
And the issue of revenue. There are property taxpayers who are saying, look, I can't pay anymore. This casino will bring in the revenue that maybe will give me a tax break. Yeah. What do you say?
And that's the argument they've been, you know, public officials and these powerful gambling interests have been making for 40 years as they've rammed more forms of predatory gambling into communities. Yet here in New York, New York is a poster child for how much government's experiment with gambling has failed as a revenue source, right? It hasn't funded education. You have all this off-track betting, you have $30 scratch tickets, you have quick draw, you know, exploiting people in bar rooms across the state. Yet, and now we need, you know, somehow casinos are going to be a new wave of revenue sources. Every state in this country that's embraced casino revenue is one of the biggest financial basket cases in the country. New Jersey, probably the prime example, ranked 50th in the country for its financial condition, you know, the worst in the nation, and they're pushing all forms of state-sponsored predatory gambling in every corner of society.
There are those who would argue that if you do not have this type of gambling, casinos, lottery, etc., people will still gamble, but that revenue will go to organized crime.
Yeah. There is no evidence from any jurisdiction in the country that illegal gambling goes down when government sponsors gambling. So what you have instead, what those people purposely, kind of willfully trying to deceive people to thinking that, you know, this is somehow, you know, a good thing. The evidence shows that when government sponsors this, it furthers the inequality and unfairness in society. And that's what they don't want to acknowledge. And that's why they'll come up with all these deceitful arguments to get people away from what the true evidence shows.
Casinos seemed to be a very quiet issue for many, many years. Sure, there was Las Vegas, then Atlantic City, then all of a sudden, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New York. It seemed to spread rather rapidly. Why?
Because, again, this isn't something that the people of New York and other states were demanding. They're not pounding the table saying, give me a casino in my neighborhood, in my community. This was driven by very powerful interests, many of which are based out of Wall Street. Some of these private equity firms and hedge funds are sponsoring this in partnership with state governments that have refused to either raise taxes or cut services. So that they've used this as an excuse to push, you know, a new form of revenue, you know, a potential revenue source into communities in partnership with these powerful gambling interests. And it's been a failure. And you mentioned Massachusetts. What's notable for your listeners, because I know you hear a lot about Massachusetts here because you border that region. As we speak, the citizens of Massachusetts for the last year and a half have gone out and collected signatures to put a question on the ballot in November of 2014 that will repeal casinos in that state. And so this is really, you're seeing a massive pushback because citizens are recognizing the role that this public policy, this failed public policy, plays in inequality and unfairness, and they're doing something about it. And I urge the people of New York to do the same.
The developers of this East Greenbush Casino had original plans to go to Saratoga Springs, which ironically has more gambling with the horse track and already has a racino. Yet Saratoga Springs pretty much spoke out against this. They voted against the constitutional amendment. There was an active citizens group, a business group opposed to casinos, and the developer gave up on Saratoga, now moved to East Greenbush. What lessons can casino opponents take from that?
I think whether you're East Greenbush or Schenectady or Saratoga or whatever community, you know, whether a community, whether one of these communities that's targeted by casinos or if you're in a budding community, despite what anyone tells you, you have the power to make change on this. This is, if anyone's serious about, you know, improving the equality and fairness in American life today, it runs through this issue. So the folks in Saratoga, they stood up, they exercised their power. Because what often these casino developers will say and the public officials who partner with them, they'll say, well, listen, this is a done deal, right? It's inevitable. There's nothing you can do about it. We hear that all the time. What other public policy do we ever hear that about? The reason why they talk that way is they want to ignore the evidence that this creates inequality and unfairness. And what they do is the easiest way to get somebody to give up their power is to make them think they don't have any. You know, so that's why they very cynically push this message that it's inevitable. So thoughtful opinion leaders, like the people that listen to your program, don't get engaged and speak out about this failed idea. So that's one thing. Whether you're in East Greenbush, Saratoga, or any concerned citizen in this region, you need to take action to stop government from doing this, because if you want to change America in the direction of America, it runs through this issue.